Mondays on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you by BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com and remember to download the BetMGM mobile app today.
Comes to Hardaway on the run. Here's Albrecht. Got another one.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Mr. Albrecht playing like a star.
We approach a 12-minute mark. Michigan by four.
Is that big ball screen?
Burke thought about a long three. Albrecht will take one. And got another one.
Oh, oh, America, all over the world. His name is Albrecht.
That's right. His name is Albrecht. Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Hadlin, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the radio bunker and joining us on the horn right now, the Michigan alum, two-time Big Ten champion. His name is Spike Albrecht. You heard Dickie V with the highlights there from that 2013 National Championship game. Spike, my friend, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us today. How are you, my man?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me. It's going to be fun.
Did you so did you ever go back and watch any of those highlights? Did you ever go back and relive that game at all?
You know what? I don't. But I have enough people who always send it to me and kind of keep me, you know, keep me in the loop on Twitter, things like that. So I get to relive it quite a bit, but you know, I don't necessarily go back and search for it myself. I think that'd be a little weird.
I can understand that. I can agree. I don't like to listen back to anything that I've ever done. So I totally understand if you're like, yeah, no, I think I'll pass on that. I was there. I lived
exactly.
It, you know, some incredible moments. And for Michigan fans, this basketball program, Spike, has really become something very special, and it's kind of filled the void over the years because what, you know, many people want to talk about, it's a football school, it's a basketball school, this, that, and the third. And anytime anybody, you know, tells me it's a basketball school, like that's some sort of insult. I mean, I work for the basketball team. I'm 100% okay with this, Spike. This is like the greatest moments of my life right here in my professional career. But when you look at this team from this year and what you've seen so far out of these Michigan Wolverines, are you just as flabbergasted as the rest of us? Because they were a team that was supposed to be, you know, picked by many to finish sixth in the Big Ten. And here they are, you know, first place in the conference after a huge win over Ohio State yesterday on the road in Columbus, number three in the country. It just seems like they're far exceeding the expectations for this year.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that's why you don't pay attention to the preseason rankings, right? You got to go out there and put in the work and improve yourself. And they've certainly done that. You know, obviously another huge win today. But I think they're proving, you know, time and time again that they are for real and that they're legit national championship contenders.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of people, you know, maybe had questioned a little bit of the strength of schedules, ranked like 40th in comparison to Ohio State, who had played a top 20, you know, schedule, because, you know, Michigan hasn't run into a lot of the Big Ten powers yet because of the whole standstill and the COVID pause that they had to go through. When they were, you know, had that 3-week suspension, 23 days, they have to, you know, postpone and reschedule the Illinois game. You know, people have their thoughts and opinions on that. But were you surprised at how good that they looked in that second half against Wisconsin after such a big delay, being down 12 at the half? They came out of the gates roaring there, really locking down defensively. Were you surprised at all at how well they played after their layoff, and then to get that home win against Rutgers and then go on the road to Columbus? It seems like they picked right up where they left off.
Yeah, they look like right now they've, you know, certainly shaken off any rust they might have gotten from those 3 weeks. I will say this, when they got going again, I was like, dang, they got to go on the road at Wisconsin, first game back in 3 weeks. That's going to be a tough game. And I thought they did come out a little bit, you know, a little bit rusty there in that first half. Obviously, you know, down 12 at half or whatever it was. But for them to stick with it and come back and get that win in that game at Wisconsin versus a really good Wisconsin team, I think that speaks volumes to the character, you know, the coaching staff and the players. They seem like a really, really tight-knit group. You know, they play hard. They look like they play for one another. So they're a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, I think the sky is the limit for this team.
Spike, you said something there that I have been talking about now for, I want to say like a year at this point. It's that when Juwan Howard was hired, you know, you mentioned they play for one another. They really do. It doesn't matter, you know, who's getting the rock, who's shooting it, who's got the points, who's filling up the box score. It feels like everybody, you know, all the way down to the 15th guy on the bench and then to the graduate assistants, the training staff, everybody there. I mean, you could see it every possession, you know, when Michigan's on defense, everybody's locked in, everybody's hooting and hollering, they're stomping their feet, they're cheering, they're making noise, they're calling out different coverages on defense. Like, it's just everybody seems so in sync and in tune. And I got to give some credit to, you know, Juwan Howard and his staff here, because I might have said something that was a little wild last week. And I said, look, if Mike Krzyzewski, John Calipari, Tom Izzo, and Juwan Howard walked into my living room and threw me offers, I'm going to go towards Juwan. And I get that I'm an employee and I see things with a little bit of a maize and blue lens. But, I mean, with his NBA experience, the way that this offense moves, how he approaches the game and approaches press conferences and everything's about culture and family, it just seems like somebody I want to play for.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I've only met Juwan a few times and have had, you know, very brief interactions with him. But everything I've heard, and not just what he's doing on the basketball court as a coach, like obviously there was a lot of, you know, I guess uncertainty about him being a first-time head coach when he first got hired and this and that. And you're still kind of seeing, you know, some of those backhand compliments. But like from everything I've heard at Michigan, obviously you would know better than me, is I just heard he's an unbelievable person. Like, the people in that building at Chrysler, like, I heard he treats people great. People love him in Ann Arbor. And you can, like, really see that out on the floor, you know. I went to the Purdue game, you know, before they got shut down. And I remember I walked away, and I just remember I called someone after. I was like, man, these dudes love Juwan Howard. And it's like, you know, he's helping dudes up off the floor. Like, he's high-fiving, hugging guys left and right. And it's very genuine, you know, like you mentioned the hooting and hollering on the bench. And, you know, when I'm watching that on TV, I'm like, yo, what's going on here? It looks like a softball team, you know, but like they're really engaged, you know, and they're like, and I'm sorry, that was probably not nice to say about softball.
No, you know that's so true. You know, and a lot of those, a lot of the sports where there aren't like major fans, like they rely on their teammates to provide that energy. And especially this year in the COVID year, when there's no fans in the stands, like it's amazing the difference those guys on the bench make.
It's incredible. I love it. They look like they're having so much fun playing the game of basketball. And I tell people all the time, like, energy is contagious. That's like, that's what I was known for as a player. Like I played hard. I tried to come in and provide a spark. And these dudes do it, you know, night in and night out. Look what Shawnee Brown did today, coming off the bench. Like, he completely changed that game when he came in.
Yeah, and that's Sean D every time he checks in. I mean, he is a relentless defender. I mean, a junkyard dog. He brings this kind of edge and this attitude and this, you know, this ferocity. He doesn't really say a whole lot, but you could just tell when he checks in. You could see it in his eyes. He's hungry, man. He just wants to get let off that leash, and it just provides such a boost coming off the bench where, you know, like a lot of times where teams – you know, sometimes at starting five, you start to hit that rotation a little bit, and you see a little bit of a dip in production. Sean D, not only can he shoot it, but most importantly, like you mentioned, his effort and his mentality and that energy that he brings on the defensive side of the basketball, it really is contagious. And when Hunter Dickinson signed to this team, I was like, okay, all right, here's a five-star. He's over 7 feet tall. Like, let's see what this young man, even though he's a little bit older as a freshman, 20 years old, let's see what this young man has to bring to the table. This guy is a monster. Oh, my God. Got that two-handed dunk he had today, just dunked all over Christopher Columbus, not just Columbus, Ohio, all over everything that was named Columbus. I mean, this kid is incredible.
Yeah, he's an absolute beast. He honestly, like, in that second half, too, he just took over. He looks like an absolute, like, man amongst boys. But to what, like, you talked about earlier, even, with them being so selfless and not caring who scores and, you know, this and that, that's a perfect example right there. Like, hey, this kid's a freshman. He's coming in. Like, the second half, they were running offense through him. You know, like, he was going down in the post. They were going four around one. And, like, you got some other really good players on that team. You know, and there's some guys who wouldn't be okay with that. You know, like, they would be wanting to go out there and get theirs every night because they're capable of it, right? But this team doesn't care who, you know, who's out there scoring. They just want to win. And that's why they're so fun to watch. And that's why you have a different guy every night. You know, obviously you have your main guys, but like there's four or five guys, you know, who are capable of having big games for these teams. I think they had five or six guys in double figures today.
Spike Albrecht joining us on the horn right now. Played 115 games in the Maize and Blues, the 61st Wolverine to ever play 100 games or more in his career. He was an MVP of the team in 2015, Sportsmanship Award winner, Most Assist Award, Hustle Award, Leadership Award, Spirit Award. I mean, your bio is crazy. Is Spike joining us here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. I have a question for you, Spike, in regards to, you know, a lot of people want to bring up the comparison, and I didn't like it at first when Juwan Howard was hired to be the head coach, because it's like, okay, you know, John Beilein moved on, and for him, from a career standpoint, to make it from a junior varsity head coach and then climb the ranks all the way to the NBA, you know, you went full circle. You made it all the way to the pinnacle, no matter what happened. It's a hell of a lifetime achievement, and I can't blame anybody for wanting that opportunity. Juwan Howard gets hired, and a lot of people wanted to make the comparisons between John Beilein and Juwan Howard, and it was like, you know, early on in Juwan's tenure, they would turn the ball over a little bit. And it's like, well, you know, John Beilein's team would never do this. And it's like, okay, well, you know, Juwan Howard's running a little bit of a different offense here. It's a lot more fast pace. He wants the guys to get out and push. And when you're out, you know, pushing the basketball in transition, you're going to turn the, it's just one of those things. You're going to turn the ball over from time to time. When you watch Michigan play like yesterday against Ohio State, when you see that happen, when you're watching the game, what makes Juwan Howard's offense different than John Beilein's?
Well, I think a lot of it too is personnel and like the types of players he's recruiting, who he's getting. You have a guy like Hunter Dickinson who, you know, you can play on the low block and kind of play through him. And obviously Juwan being a big man and, you know, having a guy like that, I'm sure that's like a dream come true for him. You know, that Hunter out there just going to work, but that's, you know, that's a big difference that jumps out just because, you know, in most of the years, at least when I was there, we had some really good big men. But they were more like, you know, down in the dump area or in the gutter, playing off ball screens, you know, picking and rolling or picking and popping. Like, this dude is going, you know, 4-on-1 with him, just feeding him the ball. And that's sort of some stuff you see in the NBA, even with, you know, putting like guards in the low post and then running action out of that. You've seen Hunter today making a few skip passes to shooters, spreading guys out. But he's done a great job. I mean, they hung up 90-some points today? You know, I know that their defense is incredible, but like he's done a heck of a job with this team offensively too. But I think a lot of it's just his personnel being different from Coach Beilein, which can, you know, help him change his style a little bit too.
Yeah, Michigan 92-87 over Ohio State on the road in Columbus. It was a 3-4 matchup. You know, the Wolverines were 4-2 in their last six matchups since 2013 when both of these teams were ranked. It was the first time ever in either program's history where these two met up in the top five of the AP Top 25. And Michigan with a statement victory. Talking about Hunter Dickinson right now, 22 points in the game, 9 rebounds, a couple of assists. And a lot of times he would get the hockey assist because, as you mentioned, they want to run a lot out of that low post with him, and as he accepts double teams, as he accepts, you know, different ball pressure, it always seems to me that he's making the right pass. And I didn't necessarily expect that out of a freshman. You receive the ball in the paint in high school, it's like, okay, you're a drop step one dribble and a dunk at 7 feet tall, and you know, you're really not seeing the size or the athleticism that you're going to see at the Big Ten level, which has just a plethora of quality big men. I mean, they're going to run into Kofi Coburn in Illinois at some point, and it's like, okay, like you're not going to see a whole lot. Travion Williams over there at Purdue, like there are big men that can play in this league, and it always seems to me like Hunter's always making the right basketball decision.
Yeah, no, I absolutely couldn't agree more. And that's something too, like for a freshman, that's really, really impressive, and you know, speaks volumes to his, you know, who he is as a player, but also the player development and what they've done, you know, Coach Howard and the staff, what they've been able to do with him in a short time. Because most freshmen, you know, like you put him on the block and yeah, he can go to work, but now, like, does he have the patience to, you know, to read different coverages? Are they bringing, you know, one or two guys at me? You know, are they going high side, low side, whatever it is? And like you said, he's just, you know, continually making the right play. And, you know, down the stretch, I know you weren't able to watch, but down the stretch, they were, like I said, they're going 4-on-1, and they were looking for him, you know, and he was the offense. You know, those last 3 or 4 minutes, they were hitting me, and then he was skipping out. And now you got guys in closeouts, which is, you know, that's the toughest thing to do defensively is closeout basketball. So he's done a great job, but they got tons of pieces, you know. Livers, Franz, Sanji was great today. Mike Smith's been rock solid, same thing with Eli Brooks. So they've got all the pieces to make a deep run, man. I'm looking forward to see what happens in the next few months.
Spike, what's the biggest challenge as you go from a high school player to a college player, and how difficult is it? You know, I tried to, you know, when Michigan was coming off the layoff and they wanted to reschedule the Illinois game, a lot of people said, okay, the Wolverines are ducking Illinois. They don't want to play them. I'm like, well, okay, it's Illinois, but it's at home. And even if they were trying to get ready to play, if you had 3 weeks with not doing anything, and I'm not really sure what they could do, you know, were they just running around the block outside? Or I have no idea. Nobody really knows.
Too cold to be doing that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like 4 degrees outside. It's ridiculous. So they want to go and their first game back is going to be a road game at the Kohl Center. I'm like, okay, so that adds a little legitimacy here. It's not like you're walking into some sort of cream puff. You know, you don't have Oakland coming to town. It's Wisconsin, exactly. And it's on the road, so it's going to be a challenge. But how difficult is it, and can you describe what it's like to try to play in a collegiate basketball game? Because I don't think people necessarily understand. If you're playing between 25 and 30 minutes, it's like an all-out sprint. And you talk about trying to get open on offense. That's one thing, but trying to keep the guy you're defending in front of you and trying to stay in front and cut off angles, and you can't touch anybody anymore because if you breathe on them, it's a foul. Like, it seems to me like it's just exhausting.
Yeah, it is for sure. I think people just don't realize, like, the size and athleticism of these dudes at this level, you know, like at high-level Division I basketball, like how big, how strong, how fast these guys are. It's truly incredible. And like, if you get to a game and you go up close, you're like, wow, like, that dude's a monster, you know? And now, like, to your point, like, it ain't like you're just up there jogging back and forth. Like, you're sliding, running, jumping, absorbing contact, getting hit, taking charges. Like, I remember when I finished, you know, college basketball games, I'd be, like, limping out of the elevator, could barely walk to go see my family. I'd have 6 ice bags on me. I'd cold tubbing. You feel like you're just in a car accident, you know. And obviously, I was a little bit smaller, so I took a beating. But I promise you, like, these dudes, you know, they're physical specimens, and you know, to be able to perform at this level, you know, night in and night out, you've got to really take care of your body, and you know, do your work in the weight room with Coach Sanderson, and you know, you got to be eating right, drinking, hydrating, taking care of your body, because it's taxing. Especially when you're playing 2-3 games a week.
And watching poor Eli Brooks and Mike Smith, these guys, a little, you mentioned about being a little smaller, being a little undersized, Mike Smith and Eli Brooks, both of those guys, I mean, hitting the deck hard. I mean, poor Mike Smith's getting elbowed in the face every game. It's like, Eli lost a tooth this season. Unreal.
Yeah.
Spike, last one here for you. 5 games left on the schedule. Home against Iowa coming up this week, and then they'll travel to Indiana, home against Illinois, and then a home-and-home against the Michigan State Spartans with 5 games left. What's kind of your expectation for this team as they get ready for the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, honestly, obviously all 5 are very winnable games. I like that they have Iowa and Illinois at home. I think that's big because those are obviously 2 really good teams. But, you know, I think if they can, you know, go 4-1, that would be really, really good. Big Ten's awesome, man. Like, you know, none of those games, even Michigan State's a little bit down this year, but, like, that's always a big game. Rivalry game, you know they're going to bring it. But I'm excited for them. You know, hopefully they finish out the Big Ten season strong. You know, get some good juju. You know, keep building. You know, keep getting momentum going into the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament. You know, because with this team and the pieces they have, I really do. I tweeted it today, but I think they're a legit, you know, Final Four national championship contender. You know, and we'll see what happens. But I think this could be the year. You know, knock on wood, but they could potentially get it done. You know, if they get the right matchups in the NCAA tournament.
He is Spike Albrick, the Michigan Wolverine alum. Spike, my friend, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We greatly appreciate it. Let's touch base soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me. Go Blue.